This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Shaoning. It is Wednesday, the 14th of August, and it's a little bit tough to believe that we're actually already on a Wednesday, because I think the public holiday on Monday has slightly thrown me off. I keep thinking it has to be a Tuesday, or is it a Monday? No, it's already Wednesday. We're partway through the week.
Yeah, give me holiday any day. I'll accept it. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm not complaining, Lin. You're the weird one that doesn't like public holidays.
It's not that I don't like public holidays, Shaoning. It's I don't like public holidays like in the middle of a week.
Really?
And yeah, I don't, because it feels weird.
I think
right?
We should discuss that. We should have full discussion on that.
Yeah, the pros and cons, like how it affects your productivity, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. From 6 to 7, we can have a long debate about it, okay? Because I, for one, am in Julian's camp on any public holiday is a good thing.
Yeah, well, I guess it's good if you manage to take leave around those days, then you have a nice long stretch. But if you don't, and then it's like, say your public holiday is on a Thursday, obviously not the most recent public holiday because that was a Monday, so that was quite nice. But say your holiday is on a Thursday, and then it's like, you have to come to work again on Friday. That's no fun.
Actually, I like that. I mean, really? I don't mind that. Not that I love it, but I don't mind it because it sort of breaks up the journey. If you can call it a journey, it's like
the journey to work.
It's like a really long journey driving somewhere, and you break your journey, right? So this is like that.
Okay, all right. Well, we have lots of other interesting things to break your journey to work this morning too. So, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, I'll be talking about streaming. I mean, it has changed the way we watch TV forever, right? Mm-hmm. So do you think instant gratification is the way to go? Or should we kind of enjoy shows very slowly?
Like in the old days.
Like in the old days. Wait till the next week for the next episode.
Okay, I have a short answer to that. No! the other thing we are going to ask is also whether we are too sensitive, especially being racially sensitive. Minister Khalid Samit says that we are actually all stepping on eggshells.
All right, and if you want to weigh in on those conversations, don't forget you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we'll be talking about hands-free phone bans for drivers, particularly. This is something that's being discussed in the UK. So be sure to stay tuned for that here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Julian and Shaoning. Now, I've only just gotten on the hands-free phone kind of camp, actually, because for the longest time, I just refused to hook up my phone to my car Bluetooth or use my phone clamp that I have.
I'm giving Lin the evil glare.
She really is. But it's partly because it was partly a comfort thing, because I like to be able to be assured that I could see my maps when I was driving on GPS, for example. But obviously, this is not good practice, and it is much better to be using the hands-free option if you can while you're driving. But in the UK, there has been a proposal actually to ban hands-free driving as well because people have said that it's still distracting, right? Mm-hmm. When you're taking calls on hands-free, because you are still talking to someone, you're still trying to have a potentially detailed conversation. And it can still be dangerous, because there have been something like 770 casualties on UK's roads since 2017, including 40 over deaths. And this article in the BBC actually spotlights one particular incident in which a child was actually killed in an accident in which the driver was actually using their hands-free device.
Yeah, but a seven-year-old girl obviously put up there to make a point, right, that this is really, really dangerous. To me, my question is, what is the difference between hands-free, where you're talking to somebody, and actually talking to somebody, mm-hmm. like a passenger who's next to you? I know a lot of people get distracted when they are driving and somebody talks to them, right? Like, don't talk to me, I'm driving right now.
That's you, is it, Julian? You don't like any distractions?
No, I'm fine with the talking. In fact, like, I sort of like had this sci-fi vision in my head of, like, you know, the whole car screen being filled with information on the road, right? So that you can look at the screen. Obviously, design a way that doesn't make it dangerous. But, you know, obviously this is not the case, because a lot of people are distracted.
I think sometimes it depends who you're talking to, which is, if you're in a funny way, I'm most distracted when I'm talking to my parents.
Mm.
Because it's like they'll be giving me instructions to do something. Then you're trying so hard to remember what you have to do. If it's just like a casual chit-chat, not so bad. But I generally agree it is distracting. Because you're trying to...
Hands-free or talking to somebody?
Talking to somebody, hands-free, all that. Because you're not, it's not 100% on concentration on the road, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And honestly, drivers in Malaysia are the scariest. Especially the kapchais and the motorbikes and the...
Yeah, you know, so they're weaving, come from nowhere.
Yeah, and, they're weaving in and out of traffic. So you feel you need to really watch your mirrors and you know, look in front of you all the time.
Talking to someone is definitely distracting as a whole. But I'm see, when I have someone in my car, I'm not afraid to say, okay, stop talking to me. This is a confusing area. I don't know where I'm going. Mm. So let me focus on getting us to where we need to go. But I think when it's a phone call, I feel more like maybe pressure to actually continue the conversation because they're not actually in the car with me. They're somewhere else doing something else and they can't see any difficulties driving that I'm having, right? So I actually...
I mean, would it be easy for you to not take the call? Like, just take it after you arrive?
Theoretically.
I just don't answer it if I can.
Yeah, I have every once in a while taken the call just to say, I'll call you back in 10 minutes when I arrive and hung up. But I don't do that very often because I don't know why. I generally don't call people. So as a result, when people call me, I assume that it's really important. So I'm like, okay, I have to take the call. So I don't know, maybe it's a societal pressure sort of thing.
Yeah, perhaps. To me, it's no different from talking with someone in the car. But, you know, the biggest challenge to do this is the ban, right? How exactly are you going to do that? Maybe mm-hmm. you can install some technology in the car which cuts off communication in the phone. But that would be dangerous because then you can't use your Waze and your maps and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to enforce this.
I don't know, maybe they have some super duper thing where they can watch your mouth move from cars so they'll know you're talking to somebody.
Okay, but
or you could be talking to yourself,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's true.
which could be more dangerous.
Or singing in the car, you never know.
But then phones generate some sort of waves, right, I'm sure, so you can kind of monitor that there was a call in.
Yeah, but it sounds like really Orwellian.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds slightly alarming. You know, I don't want to have like my car be some kind of surveillance device that every time I walk in, people are watching me, right?
They already are.
Yes, I know, but it doesn't have to be so in my face, right? But I guess the problem here would be that sometimes you really do need to take that call and a blanket ban. Say what happens if you work and you travel for work. So you're traveling maybe an hour or two every day, going to different places. And you need to take those calls on the road because it's just not feasible for you to be not taking calls for whole chunks of your working period. So I don't know how they would actually go about this either because, you know, it's overall, there is a reason why we have the hands-free invention in the first place was to try and make this safer. Maybe there are some kind of innovations that can be done with the hands-free system, or maybe it's just a retraining of drivers that needs to happen. Are there situations in which you wouldn't, like blanket, would not take a call in a car, even if it's on hands-free, for example?
Perhaps it just boils down to simple education, right?
Yeah.
Just to warn people that there are enough accidents on the road as a result of hand-free and even some deaths. So people should take this a little bit more seriously, I think.
Yeah, especially on a road they are not familiar with mm-hmm. or there's a lot of traffic, you know, or people are driving very, very fast, like on a highway. It's maybe not the right time for you to kind of have that conversation.
Heavily,
yeah,
or right?
It's raining,
you know,
heavily.
Visibility is poor
yeah.
and you have to really
concentrate
on the
Just
road.
Listen to us on BFM. That's enough.
You don't have to respond to us, right?
Yeah. That might be even more distracting.
Well, our goal is definitely not to distract you this morning. But if you are somewhere safe and you're able to WhatsApp us, please do. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a couple of messages coming up for you and then we'll be talking about bingeable TV series. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Princess of the Universe by Queen, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Xiaoning. Now, over the weekend, I had a small family reunion, right? And I met this grand aunt of mine. She's a tiny little lady. She's from Ipoh, and she's in maybe her early 80s. But one of the first conversations I had with her was her telling me, "Oh, Lynn, have you heard of this Netflix thing? You know, my kids have set it up for me. It's amazing." She has one button on her TV controls labeled Netflix, and that's all she watches.
That is hilarious.
That's so cute.
It is adorable. And
I mean, that's all you need.
That's really all you need now, right?
That's all you need.
I remember when one of us was sick and you posted on the WhatsApp group, the number one thing was like rest and then followed by
liquid
and then Netflix. I was like, what about sleep? Oh, don't worry about sleep.
No, Netflix is more important than sleep.
Reed Hastings, the chief of Netflix, said that, you know, who's Netflix's biggest competitor is not YouTube, it's actually sleep.
I can really see that, yeah. Because I Netflix, sometimes I Netflix until I fall asleep. Yeah. So that's
okay, I'm the odd one. I don't watch much TV at all.
Yeah, but with these kinds of streaming services, actually the way we've watched TV has changed so much compared to
the
10 years
old
ago, right?
Days. I think you wouldn't remember those old days when there were like maybe two TV channels, right, Julian?
Yeah, I remember sitting in front of the TV before the broadcast started, and that ball, that annoying ball, was just there, and I was waiting what seemed like forever as a kid, right?
I mean,
for the station to start. I mean, gone are those days where you feel bored. It's a world of instant gratification now.
It is. And so there's this very interesting article in the Financial Times looking at these kinds of TV habits, you know, facilitated by the presence of things like Netflix and Hulu, and because there's a whole variety of streaming services out there that you can watch like 10 episodes all in one go. But actually, are there some shows that you shouldn't necessarily be binging all at once? Because this Financial Times article particularly talks about Chernobyl, right? And I haven't seen it, but I've heard discussions about it and the fact that it portrays the nuclear meltdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very faithfully.
Yeah.
And so the author of the article did, you know, when in the course of writing the article and in the course of watching the show, said that actually they found it very difficult to binge more than a couple of episodes at once of that show, just because it was so
raw, right?
Raw and very real,
disturbing,
right? And,
yeah.
And disturbing. So they actually stretched it out over the course of a week, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And does that actually contribute more towards your enjoyment of a show versus the kind of binge habit you watch an entire season all in one sitting?
I wouldn't be against binging, but I think there is a point of addiction as well. A lot of people are addicted to Netflix, and the US currently is discussing a bill to stop addiction to social media. For example, Instagram also came up. I think they're proposing to do away with likes on Instagram, right? And to do away, one of the proposals in the bill is to do away with scrolling. Like, you cannot, there should be a limit.
Scroll,
yeah,
right?
Infinite scrolling, right? And I think this anti-binging sentiment is along those lines as well. I don't know, because it's going to be a commercial decision. And obviously Netflix is going to be against it.
For sure. But also on just an enjoyment level, if you binge watch it, do you find that you don't reflect on every episode and kind of let it sit in your mind and think about it because you're just moving on to the next one?
What's reflection?
Reflection no longer exists.
Yeah. Reflection no longer exists. That's true. But you know, so that when you think about the next episode, then you kind of like, that's what happened. You know, it kind of plays on your mind. Whereas if you just binge watch it, your target is to finish the series. Mm-hmm. I always find people say, I want to finish it this weekend. Then when you ask them what was it all about, they were like, and then there's a blank. Because it just went past so fast, right? It was just images in your brain.
I don't know. When I watch Narcos, I don't ask myself that question. I just say, you know, wow, this is a really good show. I want to watch the next season. Where is the next season?
Julian Ng of the No Reflection.
Yeah, no. So I'm kind of torn, right? Because on the one hand, if you look at my Netflix history, I watch a lot of trash TV. Just because I want something in the background. I don't necessarily always have the patience for plot. And in those cases, the binging is quite useful because, you know, you just turn it on and you let it play and you do your other things as well. And
That is why I mainly watch foreign series, because you can't do other
things.
Yeah, yeah. I watch many the French or the Norwegian or Icelandic because you're forced to pay attention. Mm-hmm. You need to read the subtitles because otherwise you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So then you can't do other things.
That's not good for dinner TV.
Why? Oh, because nobody has watched it.
You can't eat and read the subtitles at the same time.
Sure, you can.
You can't listen to it.
Unless you're eating with your eyes?
No, if you're having a steak or something, you need to look at your steak, right?
Yeah, I kind of tend to veer towards the stretch it out a little bit longer, because this is something I did in university, right? It was partly as a function of the fact that I didn't want to be locked into a series for 24 hours because I had to study. So I would allocate myself, okay, I'll watch one episode of this, you know, in the evening, I'll watch the next episode tomorrow night, and I found that I actually enjoyed shows a lot more. So I try to do that nowadays with plot-heavy series. But you know what? Tell us what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Should we stop binging TV shows? Do let us know what you think. But right now we're coming up on the 6:30 news. But to take you there, here is The Killers with All These Things That I've Done. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Ooh La by The Kooks, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng, and Wong Xiaoning. Now, our Federal Territories Minister, who's also Amanah Communications Director at Datuk Seri Khalid Abdul Samad, he has said that Malaysians should stop being so racially sensitive about everything. Now, this is particularly in regards to an issue that happened over the weekend. It was a road rage incident that led to the death of one man. And since the incident occurred, social media particularly has seen quite a lot of comments, quite a lot of inflammatory things being slung back and forth. And there have been cases where apparently it is, at least the police have said that the issue has been manipulated to stoke racial tensions.
I think this is nobody's fault but the governments themselves, because either in the present form or the previous form under our ex-government, where this kind of racial sentiment has been encouraged and even adopted as a kind of policy, right? So it's not surprising then when it comes from the leaders, the nation itself acts like this. And I think that the government should immediately come up with a kind of unity ministry, immediately, even.
I mean, they have the Harmony Department under the Prime Minister's office, I think, yeah.
Which has been very quiet, right?
Yeah, but, that's but an actual,
ministry with actual pronouncements would help, I think, in giving us the kind of optics that we need for this. Because this is really coming from the government, it's not us, right? But I agree with the statement that we need to be less sensitive about things.
Yeah, it's true. And somehow you get this sense that whenever we push the government towards an issue, we're not happy. Suddenly that race excuse will kind of be used, and then suddenly we are kind of implied that we have to keep quiet on the subject matter, when actually we're just looking at the subject matter objectively. For example, education keeps coming up, right? It's not about race, it's not about religion, it's just about having the best policy for Malaysia. But it becomes very profiled, right? It's all about religion, it's all about race, rather than just the issue at hand.
Yeah, I think this is something that, you know, even our Prime Minister is, to a certain extent, not completely innocent of, right? If you take a look at the statements that he's made towards the Dongzhong Education Group, because they are a Chinese education group, and they've come out in with statements against the introduction of Khat into the compulsory schooling system. And he actually did call them a racist organization because of the fact that they only represent one race. But this is not just them, is it? If you look back, we have political parties from independence times that have only represented one race.
Bersatu themselves is a racial party.
So we have racial politics. It's unsurprising then that it trickles down into education, which is, you know, one of the most important segments of society, because everybody has a stake in education. And it's unsurprising that it also trickles down into the broader culture of the community as as a whole. So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, the government does need to take the first step in addressing this kind of thing. And it needs to come from the top in order for there to actually be meaningful change.
Yeah, I think that you cannot lead a country by every time you don't disagree with something like Dr. Mahathir's just saying that, oh, you're racist because you disagree with this and that. We really need to, if we are to become a less racially sensitive nation, we really need to be able to talk about things openly. We need to be able to laugh at ourselves. You know, even if I make, let's say, a racist joke or something, right? People should know that that is a joke. But that's still very advanced thinking for Malaysia, right? Because you're not supposed to make those kind of jokes.
But I think we are mature enough to have this conversation objectively and put race aside. But unfortunately, it seems to be every headline is about race, right? Even this recent this man who died in this accident, it wasn't so much about why is there road rage, mm-hmm. how can road rage be curbed, how should people be driving. No, the whole thing was about, oh, it was a Malay guy, it was a Chinese guy, and it was a racial thing. Where was the discussion about this poor man's unnecessary death?
Correct, yes.
Right? The whole issue got conflicted, turned around. And that's, to me, very sad. It is true. It just shows that Malaysian society is still somewhat obsessed about race.
Not helped by the fact that race and religion are two very easy ways to swing public opinion into your favor, right? So this is fanned by politicians in not necessarily only in this road rage incident, or I'm not sure if any politicians have weighed in on this aside from Khalid Samad, actually, but in other political instances on every side of the divide, really, because it's very much everyone takes an us against them
yes.
stance. In politics. And race and religion is a very easy target for this kind of thing.
Because you feel like once you mention race, right? And then I'm on the other side. I feel like, oh, should I not say anything anymore? I hold back.
Because we have laws specifically to deal with this that say that, no, you are not allowed to foment racial tension or racial disunity. And nobody quite knows what that means because it's such a broad catch-all term. So you are afraid to push back, even if it is to say that, no, my argument is not based on race, because the other party has already brought up the race card. Right. And then anything else you say could just be you continuing the discussion and fomenting racial disunity.
Yeah. So we not only have to dismantle those laws, but we also have to promote something that actually celebrates our diversity. Hmm. Right. Don't put any festival or any practices, like, just don't put it down, you know, just celebrate it.
All right, well, do let us know what you think. Do you agree with Khalid Samad? Are we too racially sensitive? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a couple of messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at what you've said on social media. So be sure to stay tuned for that here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Four Seasons in One Day by Crowded House, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. Thank you so much for all the messages we've sent this morning. We've had a couple of tweets and WhatsApps about the stories we've been talking about. We've been talking about hands-free phones while driving. We've been talking about bingeable TV series. And we've been talking about whether or not we are too racially sensitive. So what have we got from our lovely listeners?
Well, Ro WhatsApped in. He said, having a conversation while driving isn't the issue. It's taking your eyes off the road to see who's calling, press the answer button, adjust the volume, plug in the hands-free, etc., etc. It just takes 4 seconds, eyes off the road, to have an accident or hit someone. You are right, Ro.
It's true. It takes me more than 4 seconds to wrestle with my phone clamp in order to get my phone actually up on the dashboard. So yeah, it is quite a dangerous sort of situation. I have to remind myself not to do that while I'm actually driving.
And Cheryl Nizam also tweeted in saying, based on statistics, 80% of road accidents happen because of ignorance. I don't quite know the veracity of this stat, but you know, they say that 72.9% of all statistics are made up. Anyway, this comes from Miros, PDRM and so on. But with the new technology with touch screen panel for answering a call, it should be no problem. Keep our safe distance with the front vehicle of about 3 seconds. I think there are too many rules here, right? You got to remember all these rules before you answer your phone on hands-free.
Julian, where do you come up with the 72.9% that all statistics...
It's official, you know? It's official.
Yes, and it is official from the Department of Julian Ng.
So, Department of Stats.
It's a JN statistic. <I see. laughs>
Well, we also have a WhatsApp in from Li Shun, who says, some shows need to be binged because the storyline is so complex. It was frustrating watching Breaking Bad and Lost one episode at a time and waiting a whole week for the next episode. I don't know, but does it, would watching it one episode at a time give you that time to digest?
You are so young, you can't even remember this, right, Lynn?
Because of course I can.
Only those who had, like, remember the old days, TV3 and all that, right? We had to wait 1 week at a time for our favorite TV series. I remember watching Dallas with my grandmother. And Who Killed JR. We didn't know for weeks, but Malaysia talked about it.
Do you know, that was the biggest news in the world because of that cliffhanger, right? There is no longer any cliffhanger because you can binge watch. But in those days, one episode at a time and end of season, you had a cliffhanger and you got to wait for forever for the next season to come out. And that basically halted the world in what they were doing. Yeah. Who Killed J.R. Ewing? That came up in Time magazine and so on, right? And serious magazines. People analyzed that thing because people just couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah, so it does mean that sometimes delayed gratification is not necessarily a bad thing.
It's
right?
A good thing. I think we need more of that.
Yeah, to be clear, I was not born yesterday, Wong Chang. So I do remember.
Do you even remember Dallas? I mean, yeah.
I don't think I watched Dallas.
I don't think I watched Dallas.
The new versions are not very good, right? The new versions of Dallas and Dynasty. But anyway, Breaking Bad, you did not have to stop watching Breaking Bad. I think Breaking Bad was already in the era of binging, right?
No, you had to wait for the series Breaking Bad, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
It wasn't
because it's
all
on
out
Netflix
at one
as well.
Yeah, but that was after the show was completed. Yeah. But anyway, KY Ho wrote in, he said, in the days of VHS, okay, he's another oldie like me. When I was in university, I watched Star Trek 1, 2, and 3 consecutively. I never looked at the world the same ever since. I think some binge watching of some good shows does the soul good.
Yeah, I think we forget that binging is not a new phenomenon because our parents used to rent the tapes
to watch the TV dramas.
And then in the box sets.
They never did anything. They never made my dinner, you know, watching all those shows. We have another tweet from Shami Fikri. He says, I don't know. My parents are both in the current and opposition side, but they're not termakan with their non-ending politics perkawanan. I guess this means that they're not getting caught up by the racial politics. Mm-hmm. I think some people can be mature enough to do that, but I'm not sure if it is coming from policy, official policy, the racialization of things in Malaysia, whether the rest of the nation can follow through.
And Stephen Chilia says, good morning, guys. I heard one of you talk about your grandaunt and Netflix. Yes, that was me. I suppose her children gave her that to prevent her from moving around too much. Actually, she's quite a chili party of a little old lady. She also plays many mobile games, which is quite impressive considering I don't play some of the mobile games she does. But thank you very much for your tweets and WhatsApps this morning. We've had quite a number of them. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.